the Midweek Drive and Midweek Drive Morning Editions with Alex Levchuk and the Midweek Drivettes on Siren 107.3 FM, a 21st century radio programme with 23rd century philosophies.
Fantastic, that's what we say. We'll say it again, fantastic. And Ryan Jones has now gone off to actually open the doors to ensure that Tessa Snart can actually access the studio. Yes, it's reached that stage, Bill, where condition red in Edinburgh and in Lincoln, we've locked the doors. The doors are locked. Even for midweek drivers, sometimes we have to work through whole things. So that's just part and parcel of the excitement that we're faced with in Britain, of course, as we have this strange phenomenon called frozen water landing around us.
Yeah. What is condition yellow? I mean, there's only one kind of yellow snow that
yeah,
I know.
Don't go there. Don't go there. Do not drink yellow snow if there's one thing that we would actually want our listeners to take away with them on this basis. And that includes Dr. Owen Clayton. It would be don't take and don't participate of the yellow snow. It's not good in any way, show. It's all to do with amber alerts. And red apparently means that's it. It's almost day after tomorrow time where effectively we're talking major Roland Emmerich type disaster movie to wit. It's great stuff.
Right, so it would be something else if the council were putting out a warning saying don't eat yellow snow.
I'm sure they will, and I'm sure there's some kind of civil servant that will be working on that even as we speak, beavering away in the Whitehall catacombs to effectively come up with that particular story. So, yes, exactly, quite rightly so, because that's what we need, more legislation to deal with inclement weather conditions. In case you're wondering, Anna Lewis is going to be with us in a few moments from now. It's just effectively she was frozen in Jersey. It's astounding, but anyway, life continues. Share with us, William, what is life like in a part of the country which is quite literally code red?
My children, well, my younger son, Geordie, who's 12, rousted me out of bed at 5:30 in the morning to tell me that he was not going to school that day, and then started shrieking around the house and dancing. So he's been pretty happy. He also told his older brother, who couldn't get back to sleep, and as I said, he'd been sledging and eating pizza. Yeah, it's been a great day for them, and they've just heard that they've got tomorrow off as well.
Yeah, of course, we like to feel that these are days where, as opposed to being able to go in to participate in the great phenomenon called education, that you might be picking up some homeschooling and possibly actually taking time out to actually spend quality time with your offspring to actually say, well, children, you may not have actually gone to school, but can you actually calculate the angle by which the snow person's nose has to be planted with the carrots to make sure we have a complete isosceles triangle? There we are. That's a thought for you.
Well, what we have done is we have made a Hitler snowman with a moustache and Z-Kyle arm.
Right, yeah, okay. Well, I mean, that's not going to offend anybody, is it, really? Is it, Tessa?
I've just literally walked into the studio and this is what I hear.
This is what I hear.
Yeah, exactly. You're not going to work through that whole process, honestly.
It's unique, though. It's different. There probably won't be a lot of Hitler snowmen out there at this current time. I don't know.
Let's ease away if you can.
No, I've never seen one before.
From global dictator times, etc. And so, there are other small people that could have actually been used.
Yes.
Kim Jong-un, for instance, springs to mind. Or maybe that's a different sort of issue. You don't have to go by Napoleon. I know it might have been seen as anti-French,
but still. Alex, you can't have these people because Napoleon or Kim Jong-un are not recognisable. But Adolf, you just need the hair and the tash and the arm and you've got it.
Well, indeed.
Clinton has now officially been put on the broadcasting map, with Tessa Snart taking midweek drivette duties to a whole new level.
It was only 168 hours ago, Tessa, when we were looking at a phenomenal lineup for this particular programme in terms of studio guests. I said, it's probably just going to be Tessa and myself.
There wasn't there? Yeah, there's going to be a whole bunch.
We had filmmaker Darren Scales. Currently, his village is apparently like the ice planet of Hoth.
Oh, goodness.
So, Kasia Nicklin was going to make her debut. Yeah. She's stuck in Peterborough.
Honestly. I have heard it's quite bad down there, but I don't know.
Stuck. Chloe Middleton couldn't even get into work this morning, so together with Greg from Solenity Public Relations, they weren't able to make their drive debut. Hannah Brown, has anybody seen
her? She might be popping in for the last hour, but we shall see.
Right.
I know she's been running around trying to get stories for television.
Lots of snow pictures.
Lots of snow pictures.
Snow joke, Bill.
Yeah.
And Shaylee Mackenzie, where she sometimes you just have to kind of insert the humorous point.
She might be stuck in Topshop, you see, by now.
Other stores are available, clearly. Yeah. Well, actually, not so that many stores are available. There are certain stores that actually, in a few days' time, will not be available at all, basically. No. Get those toys out now, whilst you actually want to have those wonderful little toys that are actually there from that point of view. Curious that the reason they actually said their major problems were customer satisfaction in terms of the quality of the staff and the staff morale was dropping.
Okay.
So too few staff, and the stores were actually too big. That's the reason. So.
Too big?
Never mind. Somehow I don't think neither of the companies that have gone into liquidation, Toys R Us, nor indeed Maplin, have kind of reached the same sort of level of joy that, shall we say, Woolworths reached, really. They didn't quite embed to that extent.
A lot of unhappy children, though, there will be probably now.
They'll just have to make do, as Bill and myself used to have to do with a hoop and a stick.
Exactly.
That's all you need. None of these kind of computer shenanigans and so on. Although I must admit, I was demonstrating to my level 3 English students this morning the joys of Alexa.
And we've got one at home.
This is
not one of your confessions, is it?
I'm sorry, William. You've noticed we've segued into that. Yes, it is indeed. I have now found a new best friend, and she, obviously gender non-specific, but I was being specific there, is indeed Alexa. So shall we ask Alexa a question? Shall we do that? Let's see if it might help if I actually use the proper Alexa, really, because I'm currently tapping. I'll look to sort that thing through. Whilst Tessa, you might like to chat to William about life, the universe, at Edinburgh.
Yes, well, William, you've probably already spoken about your snow day, but I'm guessing you've had a lot there.
We've had a tiny little bit, a few inches, which was enough to get the kids off school, and so we've been sledging and building Hitler snowmen. What more could you want?
Oh, we're back to that again. I know. Well, you see, I've only ventured out a little bit today just to get some supplies and then back in the flat today. So
what would you like
warm.
To ask Alexa, Tessa?
Alexa?
Any question? Or William, maybe, I mean, have you got a sort of...
She's alive.
What have you got, William? What's your question?
What is a 23rd century philosophy? I mean, you've got it, apparently, and I want to know what it is.
Alexa, what is a 23rd century philosophy? She's thinking about this.
Here's something I found on Wikipedia. Philosophy is the study of general and fundamental problems concerning matters such as existence.
Yeah, exactly. And so she goes on, you know, the study of general and fundamental problems concerning matters such as existence, knowledge, values, reason, mind and language. Oh. Tell me that's not what the Midweek Drive is all about. I mean, it's there and will remain there in every sense of the word.
It doesn't seem, your 23rd century philosophy doesn't seem to have evolved very much from philosophy from 2,000 years ago. I thought 23rd century philosophy, you'd have the answer.
But is there an answer, Bill? Is there an answer, Tessa?
Yeah, well...
I don't know. I mean...
You don't know. Maybe there isn't. Maybe at the end of the day, those original tablets of clay on which those original public relations screens were being written, they're not too different for our own little tablets and so on. But anyway, apart from obviously, I mean, clearly we have to mention that other interactive devices are available, but I'm sure there'll be various folk like myself who say, without my Alexa, life will just not be worth living anymore.
She's a good friend to have.
Well, only friend in certain instances, Tessa. But virtual friend from that point of view. So have you made a plan of campaign, William, for tomorrow in terms of what's going to be happening, given that, as you rightly said, schools in Edinburgh have actually been closed for a second day tomorrow?
Yes, we're making a nice ice hotel up in these sort of communal gardens which we share. And so we're getting huge blocks of ice out of the local pond, and we're building this ice hotel, which in the evening will be a bar serving whiskey, probably, and whiskey cocktails. There you go.
Certainly sounds as though you modelled it on the Die Another Day Winter Palace that was set up in Norway, of course, for the Pierce Brosnan James Bond. But equally, there is actually, I think, a Winter Palace in Norway, which is probably why they do so well in the Winter Olympics per head of population. Well done, Norway. That's what we say. Well done. Tessa, would you like to put those last two questions to Bill Coles once again? Because at the end of the day, you are a real life, organic life form and not an artificial intelligence that we actually held up to the microphone to get a message about.
Well, you never know. No, I'm not. Right. Okay. Have you had a reasonably interesting, snowy telephonic link with us today?
I've loved it. Thank you much so much for sharing it with me.
That's all right. And will you be joining us again on the show soon?
Just soon as the Mad Master asked me. Thank you.
And remember, it's very cold out there, so wrap up warm, drive carefully, and be happy. you know, it's usually every 3 or 4 years when we actually get some serious snow that I can actually regale the world with Donna Summer and Winter Melody from the album Four Seasons of Love, long before you were born, Tessa. But still, at 20 minutes past 5 p.m, a wonderful melodic sense to actually say, welcome back to the Midweek Drive, Jersey correspondent for a few more weeks at least before she goes into the frozen wastes of Isleworth, Anna Lewis. How are you, Anna?
I'm fine, thank you. Absolutely fine, apart from cold.
Well, there is, of course, the irony, the double irony, that I'm sure one of our more discerning listeners might have actually pointed out about featuring an artist called Summer singing that winter melody.
Contrast.
Anyway, if Donna's up in Heaven FM, I'm sure she'll be saying, yes, that's exactly why I chose that name, really. And not Giorgio Moroder at all. So there's the fountain that we see somewhere in a courtyard, which I presume is actually completely frozen, Anna.
That's where I work. And that's... the sad thing is, the bit that I haven't revealed is the fact there are goldfish under that.
Oh, no!
So we're hoping.
Anna, go out there and punch your holes in the ice straight away.
Oh, goodness,
they'll suffocate.
We discussed fish fingers as I was leaving.
Oh no!
Listen,
you know, is this the generation of Finding Dory and Finding Nemo? You need to puncture some holes in there and
save them.
Exactly, save the goldfish. Save we will keep abreast of this whole thing. This is a serious aspect.
It is.
I mean, serious confession in terms of that.
Well, I was looking out today, and all the cars on the road have icicles at the bottom. Oh. You know, of them, icicles everywhere.
I suppose technically stalactites as well, really, because they're sort of falling. It's a geological process, as opposed to stalagmites, which grow upwards. Stalactites come down, stalagmites grow upwards.
They're very pretty, but obviously that's kind of a problem if we're freezing our fish now.
I mean, obviously, there's certain fish you want to freeze, chilled out and so on, Arctic Ocean, etc. But little goldfish, who, let's face it, originate from a fairly mild Chinese Asian climate in the first place. You know, they suddenly actually get shipped over to Jersey and they say, what is going on, you know? I mean, from a Buddhist perspective, their little souls will be flying high and becoming something completely different, you know, like maybe mammoths in a time sort of zone, but still. So apart from that, Anna, how's the move been going? Have you managed to calm yourself down after last week's, or is it just don't go there?
It's still angst and it's still panic and it's, nothing's resolved really. I'm still waiting to hear back from our removal men. We have a company and it's only one that does movements between here and the UK called Condor Ferries. And if you translate Condor into French, it means the golden con, or the golden idiot. And it's true, it's a company that's been fought by technical problems and weather problems, and they're the only operator that will take ferries, you know, like lorries. And if one thing goes wrong with them, the whole thing just system breaks down. You think KFC and the lack of chickens is a problem. Condor Ferries is something else. They have not got a good reputation for running a good service. So, and I'm dependent on them to get my stuff to the other side of the...
I hadn't realised until this very moment in time, changing the topics neatly, because I don't want to have a lawsuit actually sent to us by a ferry company and so on. Because, obviously the views of some of our contributors are not necessarily those the views of Siren Radio. One person's Condor is another person's Golden Eagle. But still, that's a different line. But I hadn't realised actually, Tessa, that the magic that has been Ryan Jones has actually got a flashing microphone life sign.
Yes, I've just noticed that. I was thinking,
is that usually there? He was thinking, have we gone red alert? Has the button been pressed? Is this it? Will we those last two questions? Can we say it's the end of everything? Good night, Anna. You know, but no, it's just the red flashing microphone live system.
We are live.
I like to feel that we're conscious at least. I'm not sure whether after all we have the Alexa. Exactly. I could ask Alexa. Never mind. Enough of such stuff. We can only sort of do so many things from that point of view. When's the next Sound and Country Vision happening, Tessa?
Oh, hopefully in the next month or so.
Marvellous. I just want to clarify
that. Just a short break.
Okay.
But it will be back.
A winter break, exactly. A winter break for the whole thing. If you haven't actually given yourself a treat, Anna, sound out the joys of Sound and Country Vision. Now up to 14 episodes, or actually 15, 16,
I think we're 16, 16 or 17.
Wow.
Yes, 17, volume 17.
Even if you're not considering yourself a country music fan, I would say take a chance on the whole sort of system. And so... are you wrapped up warm and healthy, Anna? I mean, are you not going to freeze to... Like you're not the goldfish, are you? Not under some sort of frozen water?
Well, I've got a balaclava, which looks pretty dreadful, but I have to wear it because my ears are my sensitive part of my anatomy, and I don't like cold. And tomorrow we're having blizzards here, so they've actually already closed all the schools.
Yeah.
Now, whether we can actually stagger into work, and I don't live too far away, about 20-minute walk away, it's all dependent on the weather.
Well,
so we shall see tomorrow.
Now, you'd always struck me, Anna, as somebody who wouldn't necessarily have had a balaclava, but would have had like those wonderful kind of furry ear muffs.
Oh, yes.
You know?
Drive me mad.
Really?
No, I can't bear them.
So not a furry ear muff person.
No, the balaclava is the best thing going, really. I'm a convert to them because I always think terrorists wear balaclavas. Or people who are carrying out bank robberies. Mm. Or
maybe making stow people who actually look like dictators from the German Republic of the mid-20th century. I don't know.
But if they do the job, they do the job.
They keep you warm. Does it matter what they look like?
Exactly.
Yeah, I must have years ago I would have said, if ever there was somebody who was guaranteed to wear those furry little headphones, it would have been Anna Lewis.
Really?
But, you know, clearly I've got to rethink the whole thing now. Yes. It's just totally on that basis.
Yep.
Anyway, Tessa...
Yes.
After that shocking revelation at 26 minutes past 5 o'clock, would you like to, before we head off to the slightly warmer San Diego, well, perhaps not by much, would you like to ask those last two questions to Miss Lewis, please?
Yes. Have you had a interesting telephonic link with us today?
I most certainly have, thank you.
That's good. And will you be joining us on the show next week?
Thank you for asking, of course. Thank you.
I've seen it in your eyes. I want to be touching you. Now that you realize, I see it in your smile. You want to be holding me too. So don't try to say the things you feel inside. Baby, just hold on tight. Share the night, cause I'm taking a chance on you. Taking a chance on you. Don't go breaking my heart in two. I'm taking a chance on you. It's hard to know what to say when the hour slips away. Wanna be holding you more. I know that you have to go, but I want you to know, never had this before. So don't try to say the things you feel inside. Baby, just hold on tight. If the feeling's right, stay with me. We can share the night, cause I'm taking a chance on you. Taking a chance on you. Then we'll rip my heart in two. I'm taking a chance on you.
David Van Day and Therese Bizarre, otherwise known as Dollar, taking a chance on you. When she made her second of five saint appearances in The Loving Brothers, Annette André had a bit of trouble regarding the story's Antipodean setting. The director, Leslie Norman, kept telling me that I had to have an Australian accent, she explains, and I kept saying that I had one because I was one. Then he got angry on the set and shouted in his great gruff voice, "Well, you don't sound like one!" But I loved him and I thought he was wonderful. Annette André, welcome back to the Midweek Drive. A little smidgen of time's passed there from a little article we located from your good self. And was that true? Did he actually sort of say, "You don't sound like an Australian"?
That's absolutely true, yes. He got really annoyed because I didn't. And he knew because I met him in Australia, actually, before I came over. And he said, "Oh, you must get in touch with me," which I did. And then, you know, we went on from there. I did a couple of things with him, actually. But this one, he really wanted the real Australian accent, you know.
There you are, you see. And, of course, the inflection at the end of the question mark. So it always sounds as though it's a question, as opposed to various
other. That's right. It always goes up. Up at the end.
Yeah? Exactly. Yeah, up. Maybe it's something to do with the Southern Hemisphere. I don't know. Anyway, the world has been a better place, Annette, since you took your residency to, first of all, Britain, and then, of course, just outside San Diego. Do you know, I was just thinking, it's a few years ago, these little postcards came from upstate New York, and then, similar time, you would have been echoing the weather that we're having in Lincoln, England, currently, where effectively it's -5°C and there's lots of snow on the ground.
I know. My daughter tells me, and I'm glad I'm here.
Thanks. You're bringing a shaft of sunshine to the Midweek Drive listener.
We've got brilliant sunshine. There's not a cloud in the sky at the moment. It's chilly, but it's not a cloud in the sky.
I mean, that's what we need, Tessa, isn't it? We like our clouds, though, don't we? We like our sort of...
Well, we're used to them, so I don't...
Anyway, enough of such stuff, and I'm sure... I mean, we will talk more about various other bits and pieces, but it is time for another awesome audio postcard from San Diego and another confession, Tessa. I'd actually forgotten to send the running order to Annette. For some reason, I thought I'd added her to the list. And I thought, no, she sent me an email saying, "When am I on?" Exactly. Yes. Well, now is the time. The golden moment has arrived.
Exactly.
And what are you going to share with us this month?
I'm going to show you the time machine in my bedroom.
Marvellous.
I've just put up a new addition to my website called Out of My Trunk, a now and then show and tell of personal items that I've stored in a treasured relic that's been with me now for 50 years. It's an 1880s wooden theatrical chest in remarkably good nick, bought for song in a London antique shop. Moving with me from pillar to post, it's crossed the Atlantic twice and now takes pride of place in my California bedroom. It's come a long way from the original owner's peregrinations, as several transit labels still visible attest. The King's Theatre Glasgow to the Theatre Royal Bath, Haymarket London to the Empire Theatre Liverpool. Over the years, it's kept track of my comings and goings, from photos and news clippings to bits and bobs of clothing and memorabilia from my modern-day plying of the actor's trade. Every now and then, I make the fatal mistake of not closing the lid quickly after putting in or taking something out. Invariably, my eye will land on a photograph or a theatre program of a play I did in the 70s, and I can kiss the afternoon goodbye as memories flood in, not, as Shakespeare said, single spies, but in billions. Take a morning last month when I rummaged through the trunk for a diary that I kept as a teenager. I spotted it tucked in the folds of an ornate cape I'd made so many years ago I'd forgotten its existence. There, in a shaft of sunlight filtering through my bedroom window, was the flamingo I'd fashioned out of odds and ends of silks and cloth, still looking as if it were about to take wing from the black cape I'd made as therapy to see me through a rough patch. When I looked to the clock, I realized I'd almost lost 2 hours holding that cape, reluctantly returning from a journey that carried me back in time and distance and had altered the arithmetic of my life. The time I'd spent revisiting that painful period had added 2 hours to my past account and subtracted those precious minutes from my here and now, where, at an age, Every second wants to be hoarded. Still, how can I deny myself an occasional plunge into nostalgia when there are riches to be rescued? A photo of me in a feathery flapper's costume from the play There Goes the Bride, taken during a stifling heat wave in Norwich, when the theatre was so hot that my false eyelashes melted down my cheeks and sent my co-star, Tim Barrett, into fits of uncontrollable laughter. The 60s menu from London's Blue Angel nightclub, where Benny Hill took me to dinner after filming my first appearance on his show, a sequence in which more than 100 custard pies were thrown and I alone escaped unscathed. Slipped into the cover of a shooting script of Inspector Maigret is a dinner table photo of Richard Harris, Barbara Shelley, my soon-to-be husband Arthur, and I, aboard the Black Prince in the Canary Islands, where a portion of the film was shot. The next morning, a violent storm struck, breaking the cameraman's leg and sending most of us reeling to our beds, dreadfully seasick. All except Arthur, who compassionately kept me company in our wildly pitching cabin, eating his breakfast, while I writhed on the bed, moaning, oh, make it stop, please, please make it stop. He showed a similar sensitivity to upheaval when back in California, a rolling earthquake erupted in the dead of night. Well, I was instantly pitched out of bed, while Arthur never stirred, and in the morning wondered why all the water had drained from the pool. There's a newspaper advert from the Sydney Morning Herald showing me holding a box of fruities, the beaming smile on my 18-year-old face belying the fact that on the very first live TV commercial that I did for the popular candy, I gagged as the cloying soft center got stuck in my throat. Only the quick thinking of the director to plunge the close-ups of me, my eyes bulging like golf balls, to black and bring up the bouncy theme music managed to save my bacon. I went for a year doing the TV adverts, popping a grape into my mouth instead of the noxious sweetie with no one the wiser. And then there's a publicity photo of me with Richard Todd at our West End opening of The Business of Murder. I'd worked with Richard several times before and especially got to know him well during a long tour we did of the play Signpost to Murder. By the time we began rehearsals for The Business of Murder, I felt that we were a pair of old shoes, a comfortable fit with no skeletons in our closets. Well, knock me for a loop if in our very first scene together, Richard didn't suddenly halt in mid-speech and begin to sniff the air, moving in close to my face with a pained expression. Another sniff or two, and then he said accusingly, "Have you been eating garlic?" No, oh, indeed I had, the night before. I was certain that my dental hygiene at bedtime and in the morning had removed all traces of my favorite seasoning. But apparently not to Richard's sudden and acute aversion to the wild onion. Well, he began a rant, and how the odor made him sick to his stomach, and that for the run of the play, garlic was absolutely verboten. The when, where, and why he developed this mania was a mystery. But for the 2.5 years that we did the play, 8 performances a week, Richard would stand in the wings just before the curtain and perform a quick sniff test on me. It was the longest time in my life that garlic didn't play a major role in my diet. So needless to say, on closing night, I lit out for my favorite Italian restaurant and ordered a bowl of linguine vongole with an extra large dose of, you know what. Sometimes I lie in bed looking at that trunk sitting across the room and wonder how long it will take for the latest item I've added to its contents to become a memory. Will it one day be worthy of investing the time and emotion it takes to retrieve the past? H.G. Wells invented a time machine that vanished into another dimension. How I'd love to know what will become of my time machine. I'd like to think that one day it'll hold someone else's memories, that the trunk will be for them, as it has been for me, their portal to a life lived.
That's it.
Wondrous. Absolutely wondrous. And, of course, keeping the garlic thing going. Because, I mean, let's face it, garlic is a wonderful way of ensuring that your immune system is improved. Yeah, it's that you keep away from vampires, and Lord knows show business is so full of vampires, you need every bit of garlic you can have.
Absolutely. That was the biggest worry, yes, the vampires biggest worry. Oh, it was truly unbelievable. It really was. And he'd been fine before. Why he suddenly developed this, I have no idea, but he decided that's what it was going to be. And there was another actor in the play who had this, was given the same sort of treatment. Wow. It was just the three of us. So doing without garlic was a real punishment, I can tell you. And occasionally I'd forget, of course.
Yeah. Well, never mind. The good news is, Annette, that we have visited, whilst you're actually sharing that with us, we have visited AnnetteAndre.com, and we have indeed seen out of the trunk, and a fine place that it actually is as well, really. I'm sure there are many magical things to be developed. Tessa, your thoughts?
No, yes, I think it's brilliant. I particularly like the part where you said your eyelashes were falling.
Her face is melting.
Yeah, that
her face
brilliant.
Is melting.
It was in 1975 or something. We had a huge heat wave in England. It went on for weeks, and it truly did. The air conditioning wasn't working in the theatre or something. I can't remember. And I could feel something dripping, and Tim was looking at me and sort of turning up stage and starting to heave with laughter, I realised. And then I realised it was my eyelashes.
Oh, my
slowly,
goodness.
Yes, running down my cheeks. Of course, we all started to laugh. That was pretty awful.
Have you ever had that experience, Tessa, when the mascaras or the eyeliners?
I have worn them before, and sometimes they don't stick, and it is awkward. I always take the little bit of glue, you know, that you get in the pack of eyelashes with me in my handbag.
I have no idea what you're talking about, of course, because sometimes...
Just in case they decide to unstick.
I'm nodding here, Annette, in some sort of way that I sort of metrosexual. Yeah,
that's
I understand.
Okay.
I feel the pain. I've got a clue. It's like giving childbirth, really. Hannah?
I've never worn
no,
them.
No.
No, it looks too fiddly for me.
It can be. Yes.
I keep it simple.
Well, way back in the 70s, we used to do it, or the 60s, rather, we used to do it with separate eyelashes, and you'd put each one on, particularly the bottom ones, each one on separate with a little dab of glue, and you'd put that on forever.
That seems like it takes a lot of skill. I mean, it takes skill to put the ones on today, but each individual eyelash, I'm impressed.
It is.
Yeah. Once again, Annette, you have just increased the quality and the pain by which artists sort of go through it. So, I mean, yeah, I bet if you asked Arthur Weingarten how often he spent time putting on his eyelashes, he would say, "Don't do it." You know, it just wouldn't happen. You
but
know?
You see why us females take time to get
silly.
Ready.
He can't wait.
Is that so?
Oh, go to my wardrobe and try on the dresses.
Again, another revelation. You can, of course, go to AnnetteAndre.com, find out more wonderments in Out of My Trunk, and again, an interesting range of things from that point of view, which it's a whole new series.
It is.
Just when we think, just amazing. It's fantastic. Hannah, would you like to put those last two questions to our awesome San Diego correspondent, Annette Andre, please?
Have you enjoyed your telephonic link with us this evening?
I certainly have. It's always good for a laugh. I always come home, get ready. I say come home because I've just been to the gym. I come home, get ready, and sort myself out and think, well, I'm off to a roaring good start for the day now.
Exactly. This is the magic. Who needs the Good Morning America when you've actually got the Midweek Drive in Britain actually doing that little piece for you to ease through the whole thing? And the next one is?
Will you be joining us again soon?
I hope so.
Well, they do say March comes in like a lamb, goes out like a lion, comes in like a lion, goes out like a lamb. So who knows if it's coming in like a lamb? You've never heard that phrase?
I've never heard of that, no.
I have not heard that. I got very confused halfway through that phrase.
Yes.
You've never heard that line? March comes in like a lamb, goes out like a lion?
Right.
It's a meteorological sort of phrase. Yes. So if it comes in quietly. Yes.
You learn something new every day, though.
Well, I like to think so. That's why we're in the game of education.
Yeah.
And Andre will return. We'll be up with the Chief Executive Officer of the Linker of the Los Angeles Chamber Orchestra in a few moments, plus Gwyneth Griffiths from Tyneside and Mike Dooley from Florida.
carry your cup in your hand and look around you. He's a brown now, and the sky is a hazy shade of winter. I hang on to your hopes, my friend. That's an easy thing to say, but if your hopes should pass away, simply pretend that you can build them again. Look around, the grass is high, the fields are ripe, it's the springtime of my life. Seasons change with the scenery, weaving time in a tapestry. Won't you stop and remember me at any convenient time? Manuscripts of unpublished rhyme, drinking my vodka and lime. I look around, trees are brown now, and the sky is a hazy shade of winter. Look around, leaves are brown, there's a patch of snow on the ground. Look around.
And with the time at 14 minutes past 2:06, it's time for Tessa Snart to introduce this week's edition of a news item from the Siren News team.
Fair Trade Fortnight will continue until the 11th of March. The national campaign is being run by the Fair Trade Foundation. Emily Jackson found out more.
Fair Trade Fortnight hopes to raise awareness of the exploitation of farmers and encourage the public to buy ethical products. William Davies, Senior Media and Communications Manager for Fairtrade Foundation.
Fairtrade Foundation, it works in the UK to promote fair trade, and we work closely with businesses and retailers to make sure that, you know, fair trade is available, fair trade products are available for people to buy in the UK. And we work closely with, obviously, the producers and the farmers in developing nations to tell them to get the to work with fair trade, and then by doing that they get, you know, a fair price for the work they do, and on top of that they get what we call a fair trade premium, which is an additional sum of money that they can invest in their community or their businesses.
According to a study done by the organisation, 40% of people in the East Midlands are put off from buying ethical products due to their increased costs.
Would you buy a fair trade product if it meant spending 50p more?
Yes, farmers need to be paid more for what they produce.
I wouldn't consciously, but I do buy fair trade bananas just because they're the nicest ones that I can get at the shop.
No, I rarely have extra money to spend on shopping, so I would choose the cheapest.
I personally would prefer to buy the fair trade item, even if it meant spending 50p or more, because they tend to be a much better quality than the other items on the market anyway.
In theory, I'd love to say that I wouldn't mind paying the extra, but in reality, I'd probably just not think about it because I don't really pay attention when I'm shopping and I just pick up a product that I want. So I'd probably make my decision based more on the bananas themselves than whether they were fair trade or not.
Fair Trade Foundation hopes to make people aware that ethical products aren't always expensive.
Fair trade ethical products can be expensive, but they don't have to be. You know, the good thing about fair trade is that there's various different options of products at various different price points. For instance, we've seen quite good growth last year at the discount retailers Aldi and Lidl. And if you go into quite a few supermarkets and buy a banana, you will have to buy an ethical banana, whether it's fair trade or another ethical label. The Co-op and Waitrose, for example, only sell fair trade bananas.
The University of Lincoln are also spreading awareness of fair trade by holding events for the next 2 weeks. Lauren Wood is a volunteer for Oxfam.
It's going on for 2 weeks, and the university is doing like loads of events over the course of those weeks, and it's just to raise awareness of producers and how they need to get a fairer wage. So we're trying to raise awareness of fair trade and raising awareness of what products you can buy that are fair trade.
Fair Trade Fortnight continues until the 11th of March, and people can get involved by simply swapping one product for one with a fair trade logo when they go shopping.
Thank you, Emily. It's almost like practically perfect in every way, really, a bit like the Mary Poppins of newsreading. Astounding. A few hours ago, on her Facebook site, ace cosplay artiste Gwyneth Griffiths actually had the line, "My goal over the next few months is to get all of these Lara Croft Tomb Raider costumes photographed in some cool locations." Cool locations? Yeah, is it cool enough for you today in time, sorry, Gwyneth? Yeah. Is that cool for you? Whoa. Welcome back to the Midweek Drive, Gwyneth Griffiths.
Hello.
It's been, quite some time, and indeed...
it feels like ages, yeah.
Oh, it's been far, far too much. But the clear line has come forward, as regularly Ian Lennox on a Thursday morning is not our sole Tyneside correspondent. Gwyneth, you host the mantle as well, being a Tyneside correspondent extraordinaire. And as we said, this latest feature that we're putting into the programme called Tessa's Tyneside Tips. Oh, TTT. Yes. Tessa's Tyneside Tips, because it's a matter of hours now. Well, 6 or 7 days before you'll be... making your way up to Tyneside. Would you like to explain to our listener and to Gwyneth what you're going to be doing in Gateshead?
Yes, well, I'm volunteering at the BBC Three Festival of Ideas, so I'm looking forward to that. So, yeah, that will be next weekend. So I'm just looking for any tips and advice you've got.
So, Gwyneth, the field is yours now. I mean, no pressure, but you are actually representing the entirety of the Tyneside region as far as this is concerned. So to call on those superheroic powers, the powers which have had you magically transformed from Black Canary to Black Widow. Go with it. Go with it now.
Well, it's good you're not coming up this weekend because I don't think you'd make it.
No, that's true.
It's like a blizzard up here. It's not good.
Oh. Well, that's nice to me because I'm actually coming up this weekend, so that's good.
Oh,
you know?
Sorry.
Yeah, not quite to Newcastle, but I'll be making my way to Teesside.
Hopefully it'll go on by then.
Of course.
But no, I mean, Newcastle, I mean, it's a beautiful place. I've heard you go to the Sage.
Yes, I am.
And that is, I mean, the Quayside itself has amazing architecture with the bridges and the Sage itself. It's got the Baltic Museum. It's absolutely beautiful. So I'd recommend taking in the sights.
Definitely. I think a lot of photos. I think I'll be taking a lot of photos because I've seen the pictures. Yeah, it looks really beautiful.
I mean, really.
I hope he does photography and he takes a lot down there.
Oh, okay.
Well, it's just a win-win situation.
It is.
Combined with the Gwyneth and the other sort of connection, of course, which in our wonderful support structure that we've had for being part of Team Fuzz.
Yes.
Of course, Fuzz Aldrin, the kitten, the rescue cat, effectively, that adopted Phil Leonis, one of our ace Los Angeles directors and cultural correspondents, and, of course, Lily Holliman. Congratulations once again on tying them. Well, they haven't turned up. They've basically proposed. It could be any sort of time for that sort of, who knows what could actually happen. But I noticed that Gwyneth, back in the day, also put on her own feline shot there with Chillin',
look.
Just Chillin'. Now, you know, we've got Ollie and
Elbow. Yeah, he loves the radiator.
So what's his name? It is Charlie.
Because
it
just said it,
you're quite right.
I just gave that away.
No, nicely done. And that, dear listener,
is because Charlie,
yeah. Tessa actually reads the thing as opposed to the presenter says, "Oh, look, cat. What name? Cat, you know."
Charlie just chilling.
He's absolutely gorgeous, Ginger Tom. I love him.
He is lovely. He's quite a big cat.
He was really small, and he's absolutely huge now.
and when, pray tell, Gwyneth, did Charlie decide to move in with your good self and actually adopt you as his keepers?
Yeah, it was probably 7 years ago now. He's a senior citizen now.
Well, no, he's 47, you know. I mean, you know, so if you look at it, it was 49, to be precise, you know. I mean,
he's lovely.
Even the numbers have crashed down now. Yeah, so it's not 49. Yes, he is 49. Let me rephrase that.
Yeah.
He must be, yeah.
I don't know cat years, unfortunately.
We just have to multiply it by 7. That's it. Really.
Oh.
So ooh. 7, 7. I know it's tough.
Why 7? 7's 49.
Thank you. I'm glad we said that. We got that correct. Because 8 sevens are 56. Why we're actually doing the times table at this particular time of day, it's probably a sad reflection on a higher education in the world today. Never mind. Gwyneth, talk to us about what you've been doing with respect to cosplay and sewing and panels and a whole heap of other things. And have you actually... Because, I mean, Hannah, you're kind of cosplayerette, aren't you? I mean, have you done...
I've never properly cosplayed. Mm-hmm. I can't call myself a cosplayer because the people who truly cosplay and put so much effort into those outfits, it's amazing.
You can see some of the outfits that Gwyneth is actually sort of demonstrating
they're just amazing. Like, it astounds me.
Very busy.
I've got quite a few friends who do it really properly and are really good at it. The only outfit I can say that is on level with that is I've got the full sort of Hermione Granger ensemble. but that's one of the easier outfits to do.
Yeah, it's a good way to start. I used to have it, but I sold mine because I needed to make more costumes. It's not a cheap hobby to start.
No.
But yeah, I've been quite quiet recently. Haven't been to any events this year yet.
No, I mean we're looking over UltraCon, in which, of course, I think you're doing your Black Widow approach there with the rest of the Avengers.
It's a very good event because it's actually got a big stage performance as well, which no other convention really has. So I definitely recommend that as an event.
And UltraCon taking place where?
It's in Harrogate. Hasn't got a date yet for this year, but it's usually around September, October time.
Well, clearly, when we're actually covering either the Harrogate International Yorkshire Agricultural Show, we can also look at looking to do this thing. It's amazing. You know, so clearly, it's all and they're looking. It could almost be the real life Avengers with Tony.
They
Stark
do look very realistic, don't they?
Phenomenal.
We've put that effort into it. Obviously, with Infinity Wars out this year, we're trying to really push it, and we'll be doing a lot more stuff soon.
And I see we actually have the official Red Dwarf fan club there, in which you are portrayed grabbing a beer with one of the creators of Red Dwarf. That would be Doug Naylor.
Yeah, that was happened last year. I got a phone call like a week beforehand saying, do you want to be part of the promotion for the new series of Red Dwarf and the Leopard Lager? So I managed to drive to get out of London.
Not only is she a professional cosplayer, Gwyneth, she also looks after Game Workshop as well, which is wonderful. Isn't that amazing, Hannah? Would you like to question her further on costumes, events, and various other matters that she's been getting involved with since last we spoke to her, nigh on 2 English years ago? It's phenomenal.
It's a long while. So how do you go through the stages? So when you see a character or someone you want to cosplay as, what stages do you go through from seeing them on the screen or in a book to actually becoming them?
The first thing I do is I always look at other people for inspiration. And sometimes you can find things that they've done wrong or done right and kind of copy the way they've done it. And then I start usually going to eBay for fabrics and get some samples first. Lots of planning. And then, yeah, I kind of wing it a lot. It seems to go okay.
How long can it take to do a costume?
Well, I'm doing Harley Quinn from Suicide Squad.
Okay.
I started that when the trailer came out, so that's nearly two and a half.
That's a long while.
I wasn't expecting
I've got a bit obsessed with that one, so it's taking its time. It's almost finished.
But it's going to look so amazing when it's done, I bet.
It's a lot of money, but a lot of... Hopefully it'll look good.
And I would also give thumbs up to the DC animated universe version of Batman and Harley Quinn with Nightwing as well in there. I think it's a wonderful incarnation of the Harley Quinn character who has a whole range of other activities on that basis. Yeah. Yes, Tessa, best group cosplay winner.
Wow.
Ghostbusters, who we're going to call?
Yeah.
Gwyneth Griffiths.
That was so much fun to do Ghostbusters. It's done really well.
Wow.
As much as the film didn't get a good rep, I think
it's
the costumes did.
Yeah, but in essence, it was just a case of some men couldn't cope with the notion of women doing their jobs for them.
There was a lot of crying, and I just got over it.
Just get back to life and the various other bits and pieces. Still to come, we're going to be speaking to Scott Harrison, Chief Executive Officer of the Los Angeles Chamber Orchestra, in a few moments. We'll be taking the news at 6 o'clock. We've also got Mike Dooley joining us as well, and Phil Leonis is with us. But that means, regrettably, we've got to say au revoir fairly well. Of course, We've had some suggestions from Tessa's Tyneside Tips from Gwyneth. I mean, has that helped you, Tessa?
Most definitely. I mean, it's just made me even more excited to visit Newcastle and see it.
You normally find that there is a kind of National Trust plaque saying Gwyneth Griffiths was born here. If you sort of
I will photograph it.
Selfie time.
It's a way forward as far as that's concerned.
Thank you. Yeah.
But it means that you need to put those last two questions to Gwyneth now about life, the universe, and so on and so forth. It's been such a long time. She probably knows. What questions are these? What's he talking about? Is he just filling until the news comes across at 6 o'clock? Well, kind of. But Tessa,
okay, here it goes. Have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us today?
Yes, as always.
And will you be joining us again on the show in the near future?
I hope I do. Yeah.
Oh,
excellent.
Brilliant.
Exactly so. Gwyneth will return. And it wasn't just a case of I was prompted into the notion by sending her a belated birthday request, because once again, I had the guilty face. Ah. You get the request. I thought Hannah's birthday was actually in September for some reason. But still, at least we had a special birthday show for yourself, Hannah.
We did. It was fabulous.
Exactly. Gwyneth will return, which is great stuff. And as we say, we head off to the Los Angeles Chamber Orchestra in a few moments. We've got a range of top quality stuff from Mozart and from Brahms to calm us down if you're having all manners of stressful days today, which you shouldn't be, because, you know, life is not about stressful stuff. It's a way of just easing through the whole process, as indeed the news will show us in a matter of seconds.
FM. Online. Mobile. This is Siren Radio, Lincoln.
From the Sky News Centre at 6. For the first time ever, a red weather warning has been issued for snow in Scotland. It covers the central belt.